Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a very pleasant good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey joins us. Trevor Harris is our producer. Coming up for the next hour, we'll talk about University of Miami football. Hurricanes coming off a 45-3 victory against Bethune-Cookman. Kind of breeze to the finish line in that one. We'll hear the highlights momentarily. We'll talk with Hurricanes head coach Mario Cristobal. He'll look back in our first segment at some of the key players and key plays against Bethune. And then in our second segment, we'll look ahead to South Florida. The Bulls come in after their stunning upset over the Florida Gators. They've given up 23 points in two games. They come in ranked number 18. So a very worthy opponent for Miami on Saturday at 4:30 at Hard Rock Stadium. Our broadcast begins at 12 o'clock. Actually, if you look ahead for the University of Miami, we can look ahead, right? The next month's going to tell a good portion of the story, will it not? USF, did I say UCF? USF coming up on Saturday, then the Gators, followed by Florida State, and then Louisville on a Friday night. So probably the strongest teams on the schedule based on what we've seen the first couple of weeks. Now, I know Florida got beat, but nonetheless, rivalry game, and Florida still has a lot of good players. They just got to figure out how to put it together. Maybe they won't put it together. I don't know. But when you look at a guy like Sapp, number 94, and you see 6'4", 295-pound defensive end, you got some pretty good players. They'll have to be treated with respect. But first is USF on Saturday at 4:30 at Hard Rock Stadium. Then it's Florida. Then it's a bye week. Then it's Florida State. Then another bye week. And then Louisville. So to me, those are the toughest teams on the schedule. SMU got beat by Baylor. Syracuse won in double overtime. NC State rallied against Virginia. Virginia Tech is really struggling, off to an 0-2 start. And Pittsburgh, we'll see. That's got a long way to go until we get there. But the next month, going to be a big bulk of the story of the University of Miami season, and it starts on Saturday against USF. Their quarterback, Byron Brown, 6'3", 230 pounds, can throw it, can run it, hasn't thrown an interception in 240 passes. Good bevy of wide receivers, and of course, they snap the ball about every 15 seconds or so. Meanwhile, Carson Beck, he's gone 185 passes without an interception going back to last year. So maybe something will give on Saturday. Hopefully it's Miami down with the interception. Both teams have taken the ball away four times. Both teams have not turned the ball over this year. Again, perhaps something will break on Saturday. Meanwhile, this past weekend, Miami played Bethune-Cookman, Hard Rock Stadium. They go to 2-0. Workmanlike production for the Miami Hurricanes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Miami and Bethune will play tonight for the eighth time. Big thrill for Bethune-Cookman, the player as well. There goes the smoke. And here come the Hurricanes onto the field. Orange jerseys, white pants, underneath white helmets. It is football time in Miami. The Hurricanes take the field, streak across from the northwest corner over onto the south sideline. Carter Davis has the ball to see. He comes forward and off we go from Hard Rock Stadium. And Davis hammers this one out of the back of the end zone. Here's Beck, another pass caught again by Tony. Skips across the 35 to the 40 to the 44-yard line. Brought down along the Miami sideline at the 44-yard line. Picks up 15 yards on that play. Miami's going to go tempo offense now. They're going to go in a hurry. Beck off a play fake. Drops the throw. He's looking for the home run ball. He fires it deep. It's C.J. Davis.
There it is.
He's got it for a touchdown. 40 yards on the touchdown strike. Daniels has it. His second touchdown reception of the season. And the third for Carson Beck as he throws a beautiful pass. Beck and Daniels, they hook up with a touchdown connection.
The snap, the set, and the throw. Carson Beck on the money.
Beck holds his hands out. He's going to feed it to Fletcher again. Whoop. He's got to hold the 10, whoop. Then the 5, then the 4, 3, 2, 1. Lungy for the end zone. Touchdown, Miami. 16 yards for Mark Fletcher. Fletcher, 16 yards, a touchdown. He deserves it, and he strikes up the band. It's Miami 13 and Bethune nothing with 2:24 to go in the first quarter. That towel draped over his belt. He's going to give it to Marty Brown, twisting and turning, and it's a Marty party. It's a touchdown. Marty Brown into the end zone for 2 yards, and Miami leads it 20 to nothing with just under 10 minutes to go in the half. Here, second down and goal for Miami from the Bethune 5-yard line, tail end of the first half. Beck's got two receivers to the right. He looks right. He throws right for Daniels. He leaps and makes the catch in a back pedal for a Miami touchdown. Carson Beck, the architect, and C.J. Daniels, the finisher. 27-3 Miami with 38 seconds to go here in the first half. He pulls it down on the in the right side of the end zone. Beck waits, takes, turns, gives, right side, Fletcher, yep, into the end zone, touchdown Miami. He wanted it, he got it. Fletcher in the end zone for a 1-yard touchdown, his second of the night. McClain to throw, and he's hit from behind, and down he goes. Bain got him, and the ball was loose. Miami might have it. Let's see if they do.
Force the fumble.
Hurricanes,
yes,
football.
They do. 11.
Bain forced the fumble, and Blay Bacon Smith comes away with it.
Yeah.
The loss of 9. Bain hit him, and Smith recovers
Miami.
It.
First down.
Williams in the shotgun. Hands it to Pringle. Cuts up. There goes Pringle. He's at the 20, 15, 10. 5 into the end zone for a touchdown. 30 yards. Pringle has his first Miami touchdown. That was fast. A dash to the end zone. Pringle races it in from 30 yards out. Clock is running now. The final seconds are ticking off the clock. And the University of Miami goes wire to wire. Very thorough and convincing win. 45-3 is your final score. Miami goes to 2-0. They defeat Bethune-Cookman. Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Zagacki alongside my broadcast partner, Don Bailey Jr. Of course, University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. Hurricanes off to a 2-0 start, coming off a 45-3 win this past weekend against Bethune-Cookman. And this weekend, a top 25 matchup coming up as Miami takes on South Florida. So looking for another big crowd at Hard Rock Stadium for a 4:30 kickoff at the Rock. Coach, will jump into South Florida momentarily, but first, let's look back at Bethune, because sometimes those games can get a little tricky, but in this case, your team very serious and play to a Miami Hurricane standard.
Very efficient on offense, scored every time we touched the ball with the ones and almost every time with the twos. Defensively, minus a couple of lapses, played really good, sound football, played some physical football, and most important, we got a chance to develop a lot of guys by playing all kinds of players on Saturday.
Coach Carson Beck set a new record here at the University of Miami, 15 for 15 consecutive completions, but also went 22 of 24. That unseated Vinny Testaverde, what an accomplishment so far.
No doubt. That's hard to do on air, yeah. You know, sometimes right. With some of the routes that we were running. So, and he was pushing the ball down the field and making a lot of those intermediate throws and on the run. So, tremendous. A tribute to him, to the offensive line, to the receivers and running backs, who all did a really nice job just doing their job.
Coach, what do you notice about him in terms of, I don't know, maybe confidence growing, but when you watch him practice, the ball's never on the ground, the passing is accurate, decisive, the leadership is good?
He's a pro. He's a pro in his approach. He's a pro in everything that he does. And he just wants to get better and win. He is completely focused on those things right there. And he's determined to not let anything get in the way of that.
He does a great job in the pocket, avoiding contact and avoiding the rusher as well.
He does great pocket presence by him. He's got a great feel for it. He understands. He's got some big boys up front. He knows how to trust them. He knows when to move. He knows when to slide. And he's used his protection really, really well. And his understanding of it is really amazing. You'd be really impressed sitting in a meeting with him.
You know, you found a lot of different guys in the portal. One of them, Marty Brown. And really, really a good speaker, great, very good running back. It was funny because in his interview with us, he talked about how much he wanted to be a Miami Hurricane. He spent time with Fletcher and Jordan Lyle. The only thing that went wrong is they got seasick fishing. We got to tell them to stay in the flats. But how much he wanted to be a Hurricane.
Well, Marty Brown is another guy like the guys in that running back room that epitomize the things that come with being a Miami Hurricane. From his personality, his work ethic, his commitment to the team, his commitment to the community as well. Marty Brown has been a tremendous addition, and he's another guy that whose best football is ahead of him.
Coach, I don't want to skip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Emery Williams, he got in a lot of playing time and looks greatly improved. It can run. His physical presence makes every throw, and really, if he had a little help, he'd have hit a big touchdown pass.
No doubt. Emery really played well, but it's been showing up in practice. You know, he had all of spring to run, you know, with the ones along with a couple of the other guys getting their bit, but he was the one that was taking the reps for the most part, and all those reps paid off. And football's about development now, you know, and you don't ever stop developing, and Emery has earned everybody's trust.
Fletch got himself a couple of touchdowns and 80-plus yards in the game.
Fletch is Fletch. He is as accountable as it gets. He runs as hard as you can run the football. Another guy that, again, it's kind of neat to say more and more guys and saying the same line. He epitomizes being a Miami Hurricane, things like that, because it's very real. And he's a difference maker for us. He is a captain for us. He's doing what he was born to do.
Coach, you're so intent on developing your players when they're here. It doesn't matter when they get here, but it's constant development. 26 players earn snaps on defense. Talk about the value that brings to the future.
Well, I mean, sometimes guys walk in the door like Reuben Bain and Francis Maynoa, and bam, it clicks right away. And then other times, you know, guys like Sampson, for example, Sampson's playing awesome football right now. He's playing as good as anybody on our football team, and it might have taken a little bit longer, but that's development, and no one should ever frown at that. That's part of the game and really one of the best parts of the game. And so whenever we have an opportunity like we did on Saturday to play guys, you know, it was only, you know, the score wasn't completely out of hand at all, but we want to see guys in action and get them 30-plus snaps. And it was great to see because you further, you know, reinforce your belief that there are more guys that are ready to help us right now. And then some other guys, you know, they finally, now they have hope and they put themselves in a position now by just how they did on Saturday and then watching and cleaning up that film that they too have things they could clean up and improve upon to help this football team.
I always thought also development was a two-way street. You can develop them, but they have to want to be developed. Some guys might come in and think, well, I'm a finished product, and if I don't play, then I'm going to move on to the next stop. Some guys take the approach, well, I'm going to be here, I'm going to learn, I'm getting great coaching, and then they see the benefit of all of that.
No doubt. It's a two-way street. You know, I can't develop you for you. You know, you've got to want to do it yourself also. So it is. And you want to attract like-minded individuals that believe in that. You have to believe in that concept because the way we roll, I mean, we get after it. It's hard. It's challenging. It's difficult. But it's rewarding. And if you hang in there, it'll pay off.
Coach Bryce Fitzgerald, he had a takeaway. And then also Isaiah Taylor gets in for a couple tackles for loss. Two names you really hadn't heard of much, but they made an impact in the ballgame.
Two really valuable players. Yeah. Both those guys have worked their tails off, and both those guys are going to be playing significant roles for our team here throughout the rest of the season.
Two more takeaways and no turnovers, so that was a positive. You're plus four right now after two games.
Got to keep doing that. You know, that's at the end of the day, the most important part about the game is that ball, right? And we've got to maintain it, keep it, and we've got to take it away from the other side. So lots of improvement and more to be made. Certainly you want to dissect every single clip to make sure you're protecting it, securing it the right way, and trying to get it out.
Coach, we saw against Notre Dame the value of the kicking game. And then Saturday, you see again, 6 for 6 on touchbacks, and both of the Auburn got a field goal as well, 31 yards. You've got competition there. But that hidden yardage and special teams, it's huge as the season goes on.
Got to flip the field. You know, every 70 to 80 yards, I believe, is worth approximately 6 points. Mm-hmm. So those things, it's like working the cut all game, right? You just keep pounding away at it, and eventually you put yourself in a position where you could take over the game.
We'll jump into South Florida in a minute, but your defense did hold them to 3 points. So that was a well-rounded defensive effort. The tackling was good and all that. What did you see? What jumped out for you with the defensive effort?
You know, there were some really bright moments. You always want to, you know, play to the best of your ability. We saw a lot of guys play at a high level. We saw some physical play. We saw some good communication, and we saw improvement in that. And we saw some disciplined tackling. We saw guys leveraging the ball appropriately, understanding where their help is coming from, because that's as important as anything else, knowing where your help is at. So you can leverage the football and get more hats to the football. So we're going to need to keep improving, getting more hats to the ball, playing with just maniacal effort. But all in all, just again, with two games under our belt, we continue to see the defense progressing.
Kellen Wiley, 5 tackles, big day for him.
Mm-hmm. Kellen Wiley's a large, physical, fast dude. And he's got great energy. He's a factor on special teams. He is working his way into more significant playing time on defense. He's going to be a great one. You know, and when I say that, I'm talking about like a factor this year, not down the road.
You had a couple of those defensive tackles in there also. Dante got in there, Dante Simpson got in there, Russell got in there. Those are large human beings.
Yeah, Russell and Simpson both did a good job. Heavy-handed guys, guys that can move, right? Big, powerful guys. And they pressed those A-gaps, did a nice job, and a couple tackles for losses. Good to see those guys get some burn.
Coach, you never forget in any of the meetings that you have with the team after the games about the value of your scout team. Mm-hmm. And you recognize those guys, and they are so important to give you the look that you need, but also the intensity that you need.
They're at the heart of your performance on a weekly basis because, you know, we have a saying, if it happens in a game, you should have a drill for it, right? And that drill really has to mimic the game from the split, the alignment, the shade, hand down, stagger, all that stuff. And when we go to scout teams, there is a tremendous amount of pride and diligence on making sure that look is as close to the real thing as humanly possible. And that's hard, right? Because you're going against really good players in your body and might not be developed to the point where you can handle that. We've all been there. And our guys, they're getting better and better. And we push them hard because that's a lot of reps in a row or whatnot. But our guys appreciate them. They're starting to understand their value more and more. So hats off to them. They've been doing a good job, and they're going to get pushed harder than ever this week.
Okay, we'll talk more with head coach Mario Cristobal coming up. His second segment, we will turn our attention to the Bulls of South Florida.
Our broadcast gets underway on Saturday at 12 p.m. Kickoff is at 4:30. We'll have the entire crew at Hard Rock Stadium, so please join us beginning at noon. You know the term you hear in sports all the time, whether it's talking about a football team or somebody's program, it is culture. What is culture? Culture is doing something the same way time after time after time. And you know who does that? Ed Williamson. Ed Williamson with in terms of customer service, you won't find a better culture than when you walk in to Williamson Cadillac. You won't find better customer service. You can't be around for 50 years if you don't have a great culture. You won't be around for 50 years in the same community if you're not doing the same thing day after day after day. And Ed Williamson, of course, his lovely wife, Carol Germain, is there, always ready to assist. They've got the culture. They know what they are. They have an identity. They know all about customer service. So if you are in the market, you're for a new vehicle, may I suggest Williamson Cadillac. They've got them all. CT4, CT5, XT5, XT6, the all-new electric Lyriq. I am driving the XT4. Mrs. Zagacki and I are tooling around town in the XT4. We go to Hard Rock Stadium. We fill it up with all the goodies for our post-game tailgate. It's a smooth ride. You don't hear anything outside. A lot of people beeping the horn. Don't hear that. You can get around. Every now and then, you got to do a little slalom thing to get away from people that are trying to snake their way through things. Well, the XT4, it's just an outstanding, beautiful ride. Want customer service? Nobody does it better than Ed Williamson. Want an entire inventory of Cadillacs? Nobody has more than Ed Williamson. Go to WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Check out the inventory online. You want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle? Want to experience a new Cadillac? Go to your luxury dealership. Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Hurricane Hotline continues on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
We have a big one coming up at Hard Rock Stadium. Hurricanes will take on the Bulls of South Florida. Number 5 and number 18 getting ready to go at it on Saturday afternoon. Coach, one of the first things that jumps out to me about South Florida, besides the fact that they've beaten Boise and the Florida Gators and will come in with an immense amount of confidence, they also have an immense amount of experience. If you look at their two deep, 27 of their players have a GR next to them. So they've been around college football for a long time.
No doubt. Well, they just beat the number 25 team and the number 13 team. And they did it with physicality, with effort, with toughness, with discipline, and with execution, right? And winning the turnover margin. So they've been playing really good football, really good complementary football. So a tremendous amount of credit to them and tremendous opportunity for us.
And their quarterback, Byron Brown, we saw him last year, but watched the full game last week, of course, of the Florida game. And he's fantastic on how he moves the football. There's really not much he can't do, is there?
He does. He's extremely smart. He's extremely accurate, gets that ball out when he needs to get it out. And if there's nothing there, he'll improvise. Off-script plays for him have been tremendous. He is fortified back there by a great offensive line. Those guys get after it. They're physical, tough guys. They give him time. And his receivers are big, strong, fast, physical guys because they're just as effective getting down the field like they did the past couple games as they are in the perimeter blocking schemes as well. They get their hands on people and they throw them around. They've done a really good job being physical across the board.
He doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't throw interceptions. I think it's 240 passes without an interception.
He's a master of the system. He really is. And there's not a throw that he hasn't made. He's made them all. He's put them in great situations and gotten them out of bad situations. And again, an older guy, having been in the system, surrounded by some really good football players, they're playing at a high level.
Their defense along the front, a lot of transfer guys, older, as Joe mentioned, all the graduates there, but the linebackers can run as good as anybody, and the secondary.
Yep, the linebackers, I think they took turns leading the team in tackles, you know, one year to the next. And they're a reflection of what the rest of the defense is. They're fast and physical. They know how to play in that system. They understand the checks that come with it, the responsibilities, so they're able to trigger and run fast.
their defensive coordinator, you're familiar with him. It's Bo Orlando, been around for a while. And he's got a Rolodex of blitzes, doesn't he?
He's got a large menu. But at the same time, he also has a personality. And he's been successful at every stop. I mean, he is a tremendous professional. Obviously, I know him personally. So they do a really, really good job using their personnel.
Kevin Patrick, former All-American defensive lineman here. His group plays like he played. That's as big a compliment as you can give somebody.
He's got him playing at a high level. He does. Those guys are physical. They throw themselves around. They get their hands on people heavy-handed. He's doing a great job.
You look back at a year ago going into that game, and it was there's mentality, I think, defensively was stop the run, which we mentioned started with the quarterback. But when they do run the football, I mean, that's where it starts for you defensively, right? You've got to do about everything possible to stop their run game.
Yeah, you got to stop what they do, you know, because people are always going to try to attack where they think you're a little bit off or a little bit weak. And game plans change from week to week. That's what our young guys are starting to understand now more than ever. I mean, last week's game plan, wait a second, what are we doing this week, coach? This is completely different, completely new. It's like, yeah, every week we face a very different scheme. So line of scrimmage play is always going to be at the forefront. But to me, the line of scrimmage extends to the perimeter. In games like this, because of the amount of action out there, from the swing screens to the hitch screens to the tunnel screens to the fake tunnel screens, right? The hitches and the goes, the double moves. I mean, there's a lot to be made about how much in sync your front seven has to be with your back end.
Coach, you've talked about it since the day you got here about remaining composed during a football game. And USF had the benefit of Florida last week doing some things that got them some extra plays, and it led to Florida losing the football game. How do you go about teaching that every single day?
Well, I mean, you have to do your best to replicate it, and you have to do a really good job showing the consequences that come with that sometimes. You know, I mean, football is, come on, it's physical, right? It's nasty. The things that go on in those trenches, man, thank God they don't have cameras in there, but that's the beauty of football as well. Thank God for that. So, but, you know, you have to find a way to, however upset you get, however how much rage you feel at a particular, you know, whatever, you got to get back in the huddle and come back and demonstrate, you know, what you feel. Give your feelings a direction on that next play, as opposed to, you know, losing your cool and hurting your team.
You don't have much time in between the next play when they're on offense, because they go, right? Let's maybe discuss a little bit about the importance of getting lined up. And Coach Heatherman has talked a lot this year about communication on defense. This is a team that's going to test all of that, right? They run a play about every, it feels like every 2 seconds, but it's about every 18 seconds.
Yeah, they go. They go, and they also go pause. They do a bunch of different things to keep you off balance. It's not just a fastball pitcher, right? You get it in curves and knuckleballs. You get different tempos and whatnot. But you see, like last week, watching them, one of the big plays came about because of, you know, their ability to call it quickly and catch a team in a substitution and maybe not, you know, ready for that particular play. Next thing you know, you got yourself a big play and a touchdown down the field. So you have to prepare very diligently, and you have to make sure that you're mimicking exactly what they do and how they do it to the best of your abilities to give your team the best chance.
Coach, they are not undersized, and they certainly are as fast as any team Miami will play.
Yeah, the film is obvious. Like watching film with our players, we have smart guys. They recognize real, and they know that this is an unbelievable opportunity for us.
And your offensive line and defensive lines, we talk about size. You march out some pretty big dudes out there as yourself. How important is it to get great trench play this weekend?
It's always about us. It's always about us. That's the focus, our preparation, our people. Our people just busting their butts and working together in an iron sharpens iron mentality to prepare to the best of our ability. That's what it always comes down to. You know, play to the standard. Always study and respect your opponent. Know exactly what we're doing. Know what they're doing. And go play as hard as you possibly can.
Coach, the University of Miami has to realize, and I'm sure you always do a great job communicating it, that this is a rivalry game, whether Miami wants to call it that or not. But for them, coming in South Florida, it's as big a game as they're going to play.
Whenever you play an in-state game, consider it a rivalry. So it's as big of a game for everybody involved. I don't think there's levels or degrees of one versus another. It's not. And it won't ever be like that. Modern-day college football, every single one of your games has some type of implication for the postseason. And when you play in-state games, just add some more fuel to that because of all the ties and all the, you know, the relationships and whatnot. So it's, again, a lot of great juice and energy in practice.
There is a thought that sometimes you judge a team by how they are playing when you play them, when you run into them. And so you're running into this team when they're playing well at the beginning of the year. Is there an intangible that they're bringing into this game because they've beaten Boise and they've beaten Florida, not expected to, but they have? Is there, what intangible do they have coming into this game? And do you talk about that with your team?
I can't. I can only speak about us and about what we do, what our plan is or whatnot. And what's at the forefront of everything we do, we always have respect for our opponents. We recognize great players like we do on this particular team that we're playing. They got great players across the board and great coaching. But it always, we don't talk about, and we don't forecast, predict, get into anything except our job. What is our job? How are we going to do it? What goes with it? How are we going to do it? Why are we going to do it this way? And get really, really good at it by repping it again and again and again and again, making sure we eliminate any anxiety, making sure we eliminate any doubt, making sure our guys have clear eyes, clear mind, so they can play fast and physical football.
Coach, talk to us again about the quarterback position. When he goes off script, how does the defense, what are they coached to do?
Well, you better hold to your keys, right? You better stay with your assignment, whatever that is, because if he got free on you, he probably broke contain or found a way to break something in the middle. And you do have to stay in coverage, and then people got to chase, right? Because if not, those could turn to some really, really long gains. So the importance of everybody running on every single play, the importance of summer conditioning, all those things are tested right now. The importance of discipline, right? From the cadence, right, to your rush lanes, to your gaps in the running game, because their running game is outstanding. You know, and if you get caught peeking and ducking and jumping in the wrong gap, that's when they hurt you, you know. And certainly our guys are very well aware of that. And so we've been practicing really, really hard for a long, long time. And we look forward to getting right back at it again tomorrow.
This might be a two-part question in that last year you hurt them with big plays, but not only big plays for touchdowns. So I guess part of that is how important or is it important to get a big play, but then have that play end up in the end zone. And the second part of that would be, so far this season, your receivers or backs or whatever it might be are getting chunk plays, but they've been consistent, no drops and things like that.
Well, I mean, it's important to play your best football, and it comes in a couple of different forms, right? Don't get overly greedy, right? And certainly don't be too conservative. You know, we have a lot of confidence and what we do on both sides of the ball. We're going to game plan to the best of our abilities and practice that. And on game day, make sure that that's what we do, right? So in terms of big plays, if you run your plays, if you do your job to the best of your ability, routine plays can turn into big plays. If you start playing out of scheme and trying to go outside of the realm of your job and do someone else's job because you're letting anxiety or impatience set in, that's when bad things happen, and that's what we don't want to delve into, right? We want to make sure we stay on course and do our job.
I want to go back to the defense a little bit. Motori's been a great find for the university, had a great game, and then also you've got Smith, who had a fumble recovery last week. Two older guys, but providing leadership and plays.
No doubt, no doubt. Big physical guys, too.
Yeah.
We're a lot bigger at linebacker than we've ever been before. Guys that are now in the 240 range that can run, can play the box with strength, with power, but can also go sideline to sideline and be really good in coverage. So, yeah, those guys, between the leadership, the amount of reps that their eyes have seen over the years, they provide a ton, and certainly they're playing some really high-level football for us right now.
And behind them, Keontae Scott has been really good. Mm-hmm. Played almost every down in the Notre Dame game, and Poyser has been, I think, very solid for you as well.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Those guys were great additions. Again, a lot of experience. They communicate really, really well. It always starts with communication. So when they're in the game, there's a lot of confidence that we're going to be in the right stuff.
Also, before I let you go, this 4:30 game, this must be a big, a great recruiting game for you, right? Got a lot of big high school games on Thursday and Friday. Saturday afternoon, I imagine your sideline is going to be filled up pretty good.
Well, Well, that, and just as importantly, the stadium itself being packed up. You know, our fans do such a incredible job for moments like this. And they're needed there, and I know they will be there, and they'll be bringing it strong. So looking forward to seeing everybody Saturday at Hard Rock.
Okay, Coach, thank you. The very best of luck.
Thank you. Go Canes.
Time for more Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Hurricanes basketball schedule was released today. The full schedule was released. So conference play gets underway either December 30th or December 31st. They have not decided just yet, but either New Year's Eve or the day before, Miami will open ACC play against Pittsburgh. They will not play Duke, so Jay Lucas will not see his former team this year. That was kind of a cop-out by the ACC, right? Why not have that game? First part of the schedule, Miami plays Pitt at home, so they open up ACC at home, go to Wake Forest, then come home against Georgia Tech, two-game road trip against Notre Dame and Clemson. Florida State is here on either January 20th or 21st. North Carolina is here either on February 10th or 11th. They'll decide, make a final decision on that in a couple of weeks. And then Louisville would be another big home game. That would be the last game of the year, March 7th. It's a schedule that I think you could probably navigate through. You don't see Duke this year. You see Carolina one time, NC State one time on Valentine's Day. Miami's always played well in Raleigh. Go to Virginia, go to SMU. This year, Cal and Stanford come to the Watsco Center. All right, so that's a quick look at basketball. Miami and USF on Saturday. One of the things that Miami has to do, the clear matchup, is Hurricanes' offensive line has to play elite. They have been very good. They have to have an elite game. Rockemeyer, the center, has been excellent for Miami. They've done a good job of being very tough, very gritty, playing in sync. I still think they need to hit big plays for touchdowns. If you get a big play opportunity against USF, you want that to land in the end zone and not give their defense another chance to make a big play themselves, because they blitz a lot. Like 70% of the time, they're going to blitz. They want to stop the run, get pressure on the quarterback, force turnovers. That's their identity. They play hard. They knock the ball out. They rush the passer. They get a lot of negative plays. That's going to be the challenge for the University of Miami on Saturday against the Bulls. They want to create chaos in the pocket, but Miami's got the right guy back there, Carson Beck, because his football IQ is really high. The thing that USF, I think, was most proud of in their first two games on defense, I think they got better as the game went on. Early against the Gators, they were giving up like 5 yards a pop on the ground. But as the game went on, their defense got stronger. Same thing with Boise State. The last two drives against Florida, when they needed it the most, they got a couple of big stops, forced punts. That allowed them to win the game. Todd Orlando is their defensive coordinator. Been a defensive coordinator at 8 different programs. You heard Mario talk about him. His philosophy is one thing: pressure. But Miami's got the right answers on offense. They've got Carson Beck. They've got Daniels. They've got Marion. They've got Tony. They've got the big offensive line that is going to outweigh this defensive line of USF. For a look at where the Miami offense is right now, Don Bailey Jr. sat down with offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson.
All right, Don Bailey with offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson. And, Coach, congratulations on that 45-3 win. But a big part of it is you had an opportunity to get a lot of guys playing time and game reps.
No, it was. I mean, we'll take the win, obviously. I wanted it to be a little bit more than that. But by the nature in which they played, you know, our ones had 5 possessions in the game and we scored 5 touchdowns, which is about all you can do. And then the twos had 3 possessions and scored twice, 1 field goal, 1 touchdown. So very happy with those guys. We missed a couple opportunities with the twos, but at least they got, you know, a quarter and a half of playing time, which is going to prove to be good.
All right, Coach, your offense set another record here at the University of Miami. Carson Beck went 15 for 15. It broke Vinny Testaverde's record of 14 for 14 back in 1986. Efficiency is what you're looking for, and you got it.
No doubt. I mean, that's what we put the stamp on in our offense, is like completions, accuracy, And Carson's very accurate with the football. It always goes to the right place. He's very careful with it. It's one reason why we're two games in, and we still haven't turned the ball over, which is great, and we need to keep down that road. But his efficiency with the football is really high. It's almost 80% on the year, which is staggering.
Coach Emery Williams got some quality reps. He was 8-12 and had an opportunity for a couple bigger plays as well, and it just didn't materialize, but it's good to get him experience.
No, he did. I thought he did really well. I mean, he was 8-12. Two of those incompletions were – I mean, one of them was right off the hands of Josh on a post route that could have been a 50-yard touchdown, and then the other one, he barely missed Ray down the middle, which would have been another 50-yard touchdown. But some quality reps for him, and did a lot of good things. I wish we could have finished that one drive with a touchdown. I actually messed up the third down call, which is on me. But yeah, I thought he went out there and played really well.
Malachi Toney, leading receiver again, and C.J. Daniels, productive as usual.
No doubt. Just catches touchdowns, you know, which is awesome. And so, but those guys are very steady. I was hoping to get Keelan on that post route. Barely missed him, but yeah, all those guys have been very steady, and you know, part of the 15 completions is them catching it too, and so they're typically, when the ball's around those guys, they bring it in, which I appreciate, and I'm sure Carson does too.
Quietly, your tight end room had a bunch of catches as well. Lofton had three, Schott had a couple, Gilbert had a catch. Production out of that side of the ball as well.
Yeah, no doubt, and two of them should have been touchdowns. They're getting tackled on the 1 yard line. It's like they're allergic to touchdowns right now, which we're going to try to find the remedy of that. And honestly, the game one, they should have, like, they were open a few times, and they could have made some plays in that game too. But yeah, I was happy with the way they played, and the way the ball was spread around in general is always good when you see a lot of guys getting touches.
Okay, Shannon Dawson with Don Bailey. On Saturday, we'll hear more from Shannon Dawson. He just mentioned tight ends landed on the 1 yard line, and that's my point. In the game against USF, you don't want to land in the 1 yard line. You don't want to land in the 15 yard line. Last year, Sam Brown, 74 yard touchdown. Jordan Lyle, 91 yard touchdown. You want big plays against them that finish in the end zone. And the other thing we'll be keeping an eye on, we'll be monitoring. They go as Byron Brown goes. He's been playing great. Third downs, he puts a lot of pressure on you because of his run-pass option. Maybe about three or four running backs they get involved with, but he's the guy that makes them go. The Miami defensive line, again, they have to play up to their expectations. USF has moved a few guys around on their offensive line. They played well against Florida, but I think Miami can put them behind the eight ball. And if you put them behind the eight ball, that's exactly where you want them. Then they have – they struggle a little bit more on offense. If they get into a flow and they're snapping the ball every 15 seconds and they're getting you out of position and your communication's all messed up, you're going to pay a big price and get punished for it. All of those things we will talk about on Saturday beginning at 12 o'clock. Trevor Harris has been our producer. Thanks to Mario Cristobal, Shannon Dawson, Don Bailey Jr. I'm Joe Zagacki. Have a most pleasant good evening.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.